Ladies, open your Bibles today to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Once you find that, turn over to Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and Revelation, chapter 20. We're delighted that you're here today. Let me encourage you to be back in our services tonight. Our preaching hour begins at 7 o'clock, the pre-service is at 6 o'clock, and we'll look forward to you being back again this evening. If you found your place in Luke chapter 10, stand out of love and respect for God's Word as we begin to read. I want to read the first two verses, and then we'll skip down to verse number 17. The Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Let me say, sending people out soul winning and door knocking in groups of twos, a soul winner and a partner, is not some man's idea. It started with Jesus, and he sent them out. And therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now skip down to verse 17. And the 70, these are the soul winners he sent out, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's saying to these men, don't get caught up about your power and the authority I've given you. Don't get so caught up that you're rejoicing that you have power over the spirits. He said, here's what to rejoice about. Get excited about your name being written down in heaven. Get excited about being saved. Don't ever lose the wonder of being a child of God. You know, most of the time we're rejoicing about the wrong things. He said, here's what you need to major on, Christian. Not because of your ability to go out and witness or your ability to go out and have power over the spirits. He said, you rejoice over your salvation. Rejoice because you know your name's written in heaven. Now then slip over, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20. We'll read just two verses, 14 and 15. This is the concluding part of the Bible message about the great white throne judgment, where all of the unsaved will stand before God and the books are open and they'll be judged from those things written in the book. And then they'll be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says in verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So my dear friend, what's waiting for those whose names are not written in heaven is revealed right here very plainly. It's the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We ought to be rejoicing if we're saved. We ought to be rejoicing if we know our names in the book. And the title of my message is simply this: is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? Father, I need your help. Fill me with thy spirit and speak through me this morning, that the word of God might be very simple and very plainly laid out so every person here can understand exactly what's being said. I do not ask the ability to preach a great message, but I do want to preach a Bible message that you can bless, you can use to bring conviction to our hearts and save every lost person in this building if they'll but trust you as Savior. Now, Lord, I ask you to walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium. Walk throughout the balcony. Don't let one of us miss your presence and not feel the drawing, the convicting, the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. If we are saved, it's your job, Holy Spirit, to confirm our salvation that we might rejoice in it. If a person is not saved, it's your job to bring great conviction so that they might know they're lost and need to be saved. If someone here today is not living as a Christian, they're backslidden, it's the job of the Holy Spirit, when the Word of God is preached, to bring great conviction upon their lives about their sin. We ask you simply, O God, to do your work and fill this preacher that I might do your work in preaching the Word of God. When you and the Bible work together, we pray that it'll result in many being saved, many getting right, many obeying the will of God for their life. Help me now in Jesus' name. We'll give you thanks for every decision and every soul that's saved. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Jesus said, rather rejoice because your names are written in the book. He's saying this to the 70 that he sent out. You know, people do unusual things to get their names in certain record books. Have you ever read through or looked through the Guinness Book of World Records? I'm amazed at what people will do to get their name in that record book. There's a category of flagpole climbing. There's people in there that's climbed more flagpoles than anybody else or climbed the tallest flagpole. There's people in there for eating the most hot dogs. Just recently they had a hot dog eating contest, and a little old girl, a woman, skinny, won it, eating, I think, 57 or 58 hot dogs at one time. People are in there for eating the most goldfish. There's a yo-yo section in that book. People yo-yo longer than anybody else has ever yo-yoed to get their name in the book. There's a category for eating the most marshmallows. You look at track and field, the sports record books. People train for years to do something that lasts less than 30 seconds just to get their name in a record book. They'll change their entire course of life, and the record means very little in the course of a human life. Yet they give up their regular life and they give up their family for years, and they spend thousands of dollars training just to get their name in that record book. A few years ago, I got a letter from Who's Who in America. They wanted to include my name in the book. And Who's Who required certain, or they had certain academic requirements, and they wanted a picture and a bio sketch and a sizable sum of money. And they'd include my name in the Who's Who book. Well, immediately I asked, why would I want to be in that? But let me tell you, there's one book that I want to be 100% sure that my name is recorded in. And that's the Lamb's Book of Life. God requires no money. He requires no human achievements. He requires only faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And He even gives us the faith with which to believe and accept the price He's already paid in order for us to be saved. This morning I want to talk about that book. Is your name in the book? I want to ask five questions, and then for my message, I'm going to answer those questions. First of all, what does it mean to have your name written in the book of life? What does it mean? It means, first of all, that you're saved. It means you've been born again. It means that you have an eternal home prepared for you by God in heaven. And He's even written that promise down in His unchanging Word of God. It means that you've been born into God's family. It means that you're an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It means, according to John 5:24, you have already in God's sight passed from death. The wages of sin is death. You've passed from death unto life. The gift of God is eternal life. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What does it mean to have your name written in the book of life? It means you've been delivered from the penalty and the curse of sin. It means all your sins are forgiven. They're washed away. They're blotted out of heaven's record book forever and will never be revealed again. Sin condemns us, but Jesus saves us by His own blood and writes our name in the book of life. It means you'll never have to live in fear and doubt in this life again. about where you'll spend eternity. It means that the only thing you'll ever know about hell is what you read in the Bible, because you've been saved. You can enjoy peace and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory because your name is written in that book. The second question is simply this: what does it cost me or you to get our name written in heaven's book of life? Well, it's called the Lamb's book of life. And that indicates two things. Number one, it indicates He, the Lamb of God, on the old rugged cross, the altar of sacrifice for our sin. He paid the price necessary for us to be saved. It is the Lamb's book of life. And it also indicates that only those who have accepted God's payment for their sin has their name recorded in that book. It's a part of our salvation. When we get saved, we are redeemed. We have been bought back by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It means we have been forgiven. It means we have been reconciled to God and God reconciled to us through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means the sinner is justified in the sight of God. That means that God, on the merits of the substitutionary death of Jesus, has declared our sin forgiven and we are justified. We are righteous in God's sight. God writes our name in heaven's book of life. There's not enough riches in this world to put even one sinner's name in that book. One cannot do enough good to get their name in heaven's book. However, it's free, absolutely free to all who will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God does not require you to pay the price. It's already been paid for us. Jesus on that old rugged cross became our substitute in order that we might be saved and have our name written in the Lamb's book of life. Thirdly, how does a person get their name in that book of life? How does a lost sinner get his name written in heaven's book of life, the book of the redeemed? Well, let's let Jesus answer it. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that spiritual kingdom we enter into only by the new birth, by faith in Jesus Christ. He said in John 3, 7, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. He said in that same chapter, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In verse number 18, he said, whosoever believeth in him is not condemned, but whosoever believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's telling us we've got to be born again. And we get born again by believing that Jesus died for our sins and is able to forgive us and give us eternal life. When we believe, when we simply trust, when we ask Him, God in the Holy Spirit does the work of the new birth. He performs the new birth in us and for us. Let's let Paul answer that question. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've heard Jesus' answer, we've heard Paul's answer. They're the same, by the way. By faith, the old sinner needs to see himself as a sinner, have a change of mind and heart about his sin, see his sin as God sees it, and by faith, trust Jesus. Believe upon Him. When we do, we're born again. Let's let the Apostle John answer it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. Now let me stop right there and say to you, those verses are not saying if we believe there is a God and there is a Jesus, and even if we believe that Jesus is God and he died on the cross, that by itself saves us. No, the Bible says the devil believes that. And if all we do is have an intellectual knowledge that Jesus is God and he died on the cross and arose again, we're no better off than the devil. It means we've got to believe it to the point where we put our dependence upon him and ask him, trust him, receive him, call upon him, believe upon him, however you want to say it, but there's got to be a personal dependence on Jesus Christ to save you. Let Paul answer it again in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 13. He's getting down on the living level of life. Now, he said, if you want to be saved, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, tell him you believe in him. And believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we receive him? Understand that you're a sinner. Understand that if God paid me and you what we have earned for our sin, we'd all be cast into hell. But believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross. Believe it and put your trust in him. Just ask him. Whether you ask him in your heart silently or you ask him verbally in prayer, there must be a time when you personally and definitely not just think about it, not just believe historically about it, you believe to the point where you're putting your trust, your dependence on you, a sinner, on Jesus to save your soul. There's no shortcut to get your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. God has only provided one way, and that way is Jesus. So settled is that way, and so narrow is that way, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Fourthly, will everyone's name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There are people that believe and religions that teach that everybody's going to heaven. Hey, by the way, you go to the average funeral today and everybody that dies seems like they're preached into heaven. Is that what the Bible says? Is everybody going to heaven? Well, in Revelation 13:8, that's during the tribulation time. And all that dwell upon the earth, all that's left after the rapture, shall worship him. And notice that little H. Worship him. It's talking about the Antichrist, not the Christ. It's talking about the false prophet and the devil, whose names are not written in the book of life, book of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Will everybody's name be written in the book of life? No. No. The context of the above passage is talking about the people on the earth after the rapture, after the saved have been caught out. It's during the tribulation when those who are unbelievers worship and accept the Antichrist as Christ, and they worship him. The Bible makes it plain. Their names are not written in the book of life, and their future is revealed in Revelation 20. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Our names are written in that precious book after we're born again, after we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. Those whose names are not in the book, as spoken of in Revelation 13, will worship the Antichrist, and their fate will be the same as the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil. They'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. I simply want to ask you tonight, today, is your name in heaven's book? I promise you, if I walked through this auditorium and held a microphone at your face and asked you, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? Not one of you would say, preacher, I want to go to hell and I can't wait. I promise you, every one of you would like to know you're going to heaven. But the Bible makes it plain, not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's name's going to be in that book. Only those who've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. I've got one more question, and I'll be through in my message this morning. What happens to us? What happens to the person whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life? What happens to them? What's their future? What's their eternity going to be like? Well, let's just read from Revelation 20, beginning verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now let me stop right there and say to you, contrary to what some religions teach, there is not just one general judgment at the end of the world. The Bible teaches us that there will be a judgment of the saved called the judgment seat of Christ. It'll take place after the rapture and before the revelation or the return of Christ to the earth. I believe it'll take place during that 7-year period that's going on earth known as the tribulation. And we'll be in heaven, and at that judgment seat of Christ, only the saved will stand there. We'll not stand at that judgment to see if we're going to get into heaven. That judgment is a judgment about our stewardship as Christians. What kind of a life did we live? Did we live by His book? Did we obey His word? Did we serve for His glory? Were we faithful? And on the basis of that judgment, two things will be determined. The rewards that we'll have to lay at His feet. And number two, where we'll serve and our place in the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign upon the earth. Then there is that second judgment that takes place approximately 1,000 years after the judgment seat of Christ. Theologically, it's known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Only the unsaved will be at this judgment. Their soul and spirit will be called out of hell, and their body will be called out of the grave, and they'll stand before God. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I didn't write that. I'm just the preacher to deliver it. I'm God's mailman. God wrote it. And that's the future of those who have not been saved. The future of those who have chosen to live their life without Jesus Christ. The lake of fire. The eternal place of judgment of all the unsaved. What's in the lake of fire? Death is in the lake of fire. Hell is taken and cast into the lake of fire. The Antichrist is in the lake of fire. The false prophet's in the lake of fire. The old devil's cast into the lake of fire. And you, my dear friend, if you're without Jesus Christ and die without Jesus Christ, have a future awaiting you called the lake of fire, a place of eternal judgment and eternal damnation where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Now that does not have to be your future. I want you to know God loves you and God sent His Son to die for you so you could be saved. Now we're all sinners. We're born with that sin nature, and when we got old enough, we chose to willfully sin. And so we're all sinners. We're all condemned by our sin. God has made a way where you can be saved. If you go to hell, it's your choice or your lack of decision. God wants you to be saved. He's paid the price. He's provided for us everlasting, eternal life as a gift through Jesus Christ. May I say to you, you don't accept a plan. You accept a person, Jesus, as your Savior. I did that. When I was 15 years old. Oh, what a joy to know Jesus as my Savior. I've never had to worry about dying and going to hell again. Never had to worry about that judgment, the great white throne judgment again. Because my name's written in the book. And I want you to know God wants to write your name down. But He won't. If you refuse to accept Him as Savior, if your name is not written in the book of life, you have sinned or you are sinning away that day of grace, and you will be eternally unsaved. Those whose names are not in that book will miss the rapture. When the Lord says, "Come up hither," you'll not be included in that number that's changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And are caught up together with the Lord in the clouds forever to be with the Lord. If your name's not in that book, you'll be left behind to go through the tribulation period on the earth. And you will be one of those that worship the Antichrist and the devil. And you will have no part in heaven because you're unsaved. Revelation 21:27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it," talking about heaven and the new Jerusalem, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There's not one chance in 10 billion a person unsaved could slip into heaven. We must be born again. Now, my dear friend, God did not create you for hell. God created you for Himself. Sin separated us from God. And God loves you and me so much that He said, "I'm going to make provision so that sin can be forgiven and there can be relationship again between man and God." So God took His own Son, sent Him down to this earth as a man. He really was a man, and yet He really was God. He was tempted in all points as we're tempted. And yet without sin, wicked, evil men took Him and nailed Him to a cross. Now He was God. He could have destroyed those people. He could have destroyed the world and have gone away free. But the Bible says He opened not His mouth because He knew if He didn't die for us, we'd die and go to hell forever and forever. And Jesus hung on that old rugged cross and suffered and bled and died because He wanted you to be saved. He wanted me to be saved. He wants to write our name in that heaven's book. He wants to make you a mansion, a home, there in heaven. But it cannot happen unless you choose to accept Jesus as Savior. Have you? If you've never asked Him to be your Savior, if you've never acknowledged to Him that you're a lost sinner and asked Him to forgive your sin and save your soul, your name is not written in that book. This life is the best you'll ever know. Because after this, it's hell forever and forever. But I want you to know God has so completely paid for salvation, He can say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He so completely paid for salvation that He extends His arm out to you and to me and says, all who will come unto me, I'll not cast one out. It's up to you this morning. You'll never be able to stand before God and say, I never heard. I did not hear. You'll have to say, God, I heard, but I rejected. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not rejecting Him. I'm just not going to trust Him today. What do you think that's called? Rejecting Him. Just putting Him off to a later date is rejecting Him. Accepting Him is to open your heart's door and receive Him today. And be sure that your name is written in the book. Now let me tell you, some of you would rejoice if you were given a new car this morning. Some of you would rejoice if somebody gave you a $100 bill today. But oh, there is a gift offered to you this morning of greater value than all the automobiles that have ever been made. And all of the money that's ever been printed. And that's salvation. No wonder Jesus said, don't rejoice over these other things. Here's what to rejoice in. Rejoice because your name's written in the book. I want to ask you one more time this morning. Is your name in that book in heaven? Is your name written in heaven's book of life? Father, we come to you today asking you to save every lost person today.